Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Saints. Welcome to today's Seed Times and Harvest broadcast. I'm Bishop Hutchinson. I'm extremely blessed and privileged and highly favored, Saints, to have another opportunity to come and speak life to you today. I pray that your day is blessed wherever you are around the world today. It's a wonderful and a beautiful day here in the Atlanta metropolitan area. I pray that everyone had a great Thanksgiving holiday and that you continue to give thanks even until today. Somebody just said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Today, Saints, we're going to be concluding our series of studies coming from the book of Mark. We've been talking about Jesus in action over the last several weeks. If you missed any of these broadcasts, you want to listen to the archived messages to get caught up with us. Now, next week, we'll be starting our winter quarter. For those of you who are part of our Self Church Network of Christ Universal Church, you should have already received your quarterly Radiant Life materials, and we're going to have another great quarter of God-anointed teaching from the Word of God. Now, today's lesson is entitled, Jesus Defeats Death, Alive in Christ. Hallelujah. So today we're going to be talking about how we all recognize, whether we like it or don't, that death reigns over humanity. We're going to see in today's lesson that no human effort or plan that man can contrive can defeat death. There is no miracle drug to exempt us from it. We're going to see in today's message and in the scriptures that we're going to look at that it is only in Christ, someone say to me, only in Christ. Only in Christ can we find victory over it. We're going to see that his death, his resurrection guarantees that his followers will experience the same victory that he has experienced. So as we examine to this week's study text, we're going to know that these events form the defining events of the Christian faith. Yes, without the teaching that we're going to go over today, our faith is vain. But because of the message today, because of the reality of today's message, we know that our faith is not in vain. Praise the Lord. So I want to give you our key verse and our central truth in just a moment. But first I want to get a few announcements out of the way. I want to give thanks and honor to all of you who come out for corporate worship today. Every fourth Sunday of the month we have corporate worship. And we enjoyed our time of gathering before the Lord today. And also on a weekly basis in between those corporate worship times we have Self-Church Fellowship, where we gather for teaching, prayer, breaking of bread, and fellowship in Forest Park, Georgia. You want to contact us, find out how you can be a part of our local Self-Church here in Forest Park. Also, we want to thank each and every one of our new students in Grace Bible College and Seminary, and also want you to know to tune in on Tuesdays and Thursdays to our GBCS radio broadcast, where we go over our course lesson summaries for our distance education students. So it's a lot going on, and we're so thankful and blessed to be in the presence of the Lord again today. Now, again, today we're going to be studying about Jesus defeats death alive in Christ. Now, here is the central truth and key verse for today's lesson. The key verse is coming from Mark chapter 16, verse 6. So let's take a look at both the King James Version and the New International Version for your hearing. The King James Version of Mark chapter 16, verse 6 says this, "Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him." The New International Version reads as such, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Let's seek God in prayer now, saints of God. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Father, we glorify your name. We magnify your name. We exalt your name. We adore you, Father, today. in the presence of the saints that are under the sound of my voice. May your peace and your power and your presence be with them, Father. May your power and your presence be available to bring healing into their lives, to bring provision for every need. Thank you for the salvation that Jesus Christ brings to our life. And Father, we honor you today. We ascribe worth to you. We praise and worship you in spirit and truth. Right now, Father, may your word, as we read it today, as we study, as we examine the scriptures, may they bring the reality of Jesus that much more clearer to us, for those who have placed their faith in him and for those who are yet to place their faith in him, that today is the day of salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, hallelujah and amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks to God. Welcome again to our Sunday Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. We're studying a lesson today entitled, Jesus Defeats Death, subtopic, Alive in Christ. Now, as we go through this week's lesson, our focus will be to comprehend the events of Christ's death and resurrection and to place our trust in him as our living Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to see today, saints, that Christ's death and resurrection, as we explained to you earlier, are the defining events of Christian faith. Without these events that are described in the text today, there will be no hope for tomorrow. There will be no hope for our future. There will be no hope for today. But because of the reality of the scriptures in this lesson today, we have hope today, we have hope tomorrow, and we have hope into the future. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. And so I want you to really pay good attention to this week's lesson, Saints of God, because it is, as we mentioned, the central message of the Christian faith. Jesus defeats death. That's what we're talking about today. Now, if you're going to be studying along with us, the study text that we're going to be reading from is going to be Mark chapter 15, verse 1 through Mark chapter 16, verse 20. So I pray that you will have your Bible, your paper and pencils, and that you will take notes. I always encourage you to do this, saints, because I want you to search the scriptures to see whether the things that we say are so or not. Now, if you're taking notes with us, there are at least 3 points of outline that I'd like to discuss with you today. The first point of outline is innocent but condemned. In that section, we'll talk about how Jesus faces his accusers and how he was condemned to die. The second point of outline is crucified and dead. In that second section, we're going to see how Jesus was subjected to ridicule and his dramatic death. In the third and final section, we're going to talk about buried, resurrected, and ascended. In that section, we'll talk about how Jesus was buried in a tomb and how he was and is triumphant over death. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise today. So, saints, I want you to think about that outline that we're going to be reading today. And from this lesson, as you hear it, as you meditate upon it following the broadcast, I want you to be able to do at least 3 things also. The 3 things I want you to be able to do is first to recognize the significance of Christ's death on the cross. It is not just a few scripture passages contained in several of the Gospels. It is the central reality and to our Christian faith. The second thing I want you to get out of this is to recount the events surrounding Jesus' death. And third, I want you to give praise to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Yes, I want you to give praise to God for the promise of salvation that is made possible by Christ's resurrection. Somebody said to me, Jesus defeats death. Hallelujah. And I'm alive in Christ. Come on, say it again. I'm alive in Christ. Yes, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ today, you are alive in him in the present. You're going to be alive in the future, and you're going to be alive forevermore. Hallelujah. So I thank God for all of this outline that we're going to be going over today. And Now, let's think about a little bit of the introduction for this week's lesson, Saints. Let me begin by asking you a question. How do most people respond to the prospect of death? Yes, it's not a very pleasant subject to talk about, but it's a subject that is unavoidable, Saints of God. As we mentioned earlier, that there's no way any of us will escape death except through the rapture or being caught up and alive, remaining alive with Christ forever. But either way, whether we depart this earth through death or we depart this earth through the rapture, we're all going to depart from this existence that we now live in. And so I want you to think about that question again. How do most people respond to the prospect of death? Well, I want you to know that there's an author named Wellings Callcott who once expressed the way many people feel about dying. He said, and I quote, "How dreadful is the prospect of death at the remotest distance." He called it the king of terrors before which he trembled and turned pale. That's a pretty dreadful anticipation and outlook toward death, but that is not the outlook that we as Christians should have. Because of what this lesson brings to our attention today, thanks to God, we as Christians, as followers of Christ, as those who have placed their faith in Jesus for the salvation of their sins, we can have a far different view of the grave than what this author had. For people who outside of faith in Christ, death's gloom pales in the face of Jesus' victory over death. See, Jesus' victory, someone said to me, Jesus' victory. Jesus' victory over death is the defining event that helps to validate our faith. Jesus' victory over death is what comforts us as we approach our temporary death. And Jesus' victory over death is what brings purpose to our daily living. Hallelujah, somebody. So think about these things as we examine what Jesus did for us. He died so that we might live, saints of God. And when we really embrace the reality of the truth, it changes the way we live without the thought of what death might bring. Hallelujah. So let's get a chance now. Let's take a look at our first portion of scripture, which is going to come from the book of Mark, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. We're going to see in this section how Jesus, though he was innocent, he was condemned. And when we think about the fact that we know in our contemporary society, many innocent people may have been placed to death. We found that people who were on what we call death row in the United States who faced execution were later found innocent. Some were found innocent before their execution and were set free. There probably were many others who were innocent but had went on to their death. Here we're going to see that Jesus received a death sentence even though he was innocent. And he was condemned to die, and in fact, he did die. But before he did, Jesus faced his accusers. And this is what this section of scripture is talking with us about. Here we're reading in Mark chapter 15, verse 1 through 5, and I'm looking at the NIV today. It says, "Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate." Verse 2, "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things, him being Jesus. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of?" Verse 5, "But Jesus still made no reply," or Jesus remained silent, and Pilate was amazed. Thanks to God, we see here, now imagine the scene that if we were being accused of a crime that would render the death sentence to us, And we had the opportunity to face our accusers, knowing that we were innocent. Imagine the tear, the fear, the dread, the anguish we will be going through. But it appears that Jesus did not face any of that. He did not face any type of anger, any type of anguish over the proceedings that were taking place. And one of the reasons we're going to find out is because Jesus knew that he had been born to die. And he knew that through his death, he would rise again. And he knew that not only would his death result in his resurrection, but it will result in the resurrection of all who place their faith in him. So we see here Jesus, though he was innocent and he faced his accusers, he did not try to defend himself. Saints, I want you to know also that when you face trials in life, that the battle is not yours. This battle, whatever you're going through, whatever you may face, it belongs to the Lord. God's grace is sufficient for you in every situation and circumstance of life, up to and including death. That's why we can have hope in what this message brings to us today. Let's continue reading another portion of the scripture. Look at verses 6 through 15. If you look at verses 6 to 15, Jesus, we read that he was innocent, and the governor who was trying him could not understand why he would not defend himself. And as a result, we'll see in verse 6 to 15 that Jesus was condemned to die. Jesus was sentenced to death. Verse 6 says, "Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up to Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Verse 9, "Do you want me to release you, the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priest had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priest, in verse 11, stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. In verse 12, Pilate asks, "What shall I do then with the one that you call king of the Jews?" Pilate asks them. In verse 13, the crowd said, "Crucify him or put him to death." In verse 14, Pilate says, "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." So Pilate, in verse 15, wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified or put to death. Saints of God, we see here that this innocent man did not protest these false accusations. And the reason why he did not protest, you can think about Isaiah chapter 53, that he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, hallelujah, somebody will give God praise, we are healed. And this is why it's so important that we understand why Jesus faced death this way, how Jesus defeated death this way, and how we were and are and will be made alive in Christ Jesus. Somebody ought to give God praise. So we see in this particular text, saints of God, that early Friday morning, the Sanhedrin, which were the religious council of the Jewish leaders, they brought Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor. And Pilate here questioned Jesus about the allegation that he claimed to be the king of the Jews. And this was a matter of blasphemy in the eyes of the religious leaders. But even though, while many accusers and accusations came against Jesus, we see in the scriptures that he remained silent. And it's very telling for us why Jesus did not defend himself against such false claims. Thanks to God, Jesus understood, and sometimes we may not understand the things or the situations around our life, but in this case, Jesus understood that these events were according to God's plan, for it had already been written. Even though the Jewish leaders may have thought they were taking his life, Pilate may have thought he was trying to spare his life, Jesus knew that he had to give his life in exchange for our lives. Somebody ought to give God praise. So this is why Jesus did not defend himself, because the way of salvation was being prepared for us. And it involved the suffering and death of his son. We see, saints, we know the reality of death in this life. Every human faces death. You can see a reference for that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. But I want you to know that through faith in Christ, we as believers and followers of Christ can approach it with the knowledge that we will one day also arise from the dead. You can see an example of that in John chapter 14, verse 19. So according to what was likely the Passover custom, we see that Pilate offered to release a prisoner that the people could select. And the crowd chose Barabbas, a murderer and a robber who had led an insurrection against the Roman government. So saints, Pilate then realized that these people were seeking to execute Jesus for no real reason. But because the crowd, it says, because he wanted to please the crowd, he handed Jesus over to them to be put to death. Thanks to God, here we see Jesus face false accusations. He faced a hateful mob and the prospect of a terrible death. Yet, he did so for the sake of our future joy. Hallelujah, somebody. As horrific as the events are, these events remind us of God's grace, his unmerited favor. For by grace are we saved through faith in Jesus Christ. See, this kind of grace that Jesus exhibited here is beyond comprehension, saints. But every punishment that Jesus took was the punishment we deserved. In every stripe, every piercing of his skin was for our salvation. It was applied on our behalf. And so, saints, in what way does knowing Jesus provide comfort for us in the face of death? I want you to look at how Jesus understood that God has a plan for each one of our lives. And we know that God's plan for us is ultimate victory over death, because Jesus has already defeated it. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. Now, let's take a look at our second point of outline. We see that Jesus was innocent, yet condemned. And now we see in verses 16 through 41 of Mark 15 that he was crucified and dead. That is, Jesus was put to death, this innocent man. So we if you read those portions of Scripture, you'll notice that after the flogging, Jesus was taken to the courtyard of Pilate's residence, where he was subjected to all manner of mocking and ridicule from the soldiers and from others, many others who saw him being paraded through the streets, being disgraced in public. Any of you ever been disgraced? Any of you ever been mocked and ridiculed? Well, I want you to know that today you can experience deliverance from that as you place your faith in Jesus. Allow every bit of mocking and ridicule that you may be facing. It was already faced by Jesus on your behalf. He has taken the sting of the victory of the enemy over your life, over your mind, over your health, your wealth, your finances. Jesus has given us victory today. Yes, the scripture said he was mocked, he was ridiculed by the soldiers. And then they led him to the place of the crucifixion. That is the place where he will be put to death. Saints, I want you to notice that even in this terrible scene, God's grace prevails. Someone says God's grace. We see, and while Jesus was stumbling under the weight of the cross, a man named Simon was forced to carry his cross. Now, some scholars believe that this event may have resulted in this man named Simon's conversion. You can see Romans 6:13 and look at verses 21 through 22. And then we see the final result of what the enemy thought he had did to Jesus. As Jesus hung on the cross, the mocking intensified. See, even when Jesus was at his lowest point, people still berated him. It is noteworthy, saints, that there was a taunt concerning his promise to rebuild the temple in 3 days. But unknown to the mockers, and I want to say you to say to your mockers. You don't have to say it to them literally, but I want you to realize that to your mockers, unknown to them, that this foretold of Jesus' resurrection. It is the promise of hope for all humanity. The things that the enemy is saying against you, I prophesy, I speak to you what Isaiah says, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in condemnation, the Lord shall condemn it. So many today ridicule Jesus and those who trust him. This mockery reflects the attitude of an unbelieving heart, but we are wise to respond with renewed fervor in proclaiming the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So we see as we look at that text in Matthew 15, verses 16 to 41, that many events unfolded over the 6 hours that Jesus hung on the cross. But perhaps none expressed his sacrifice better than his dying words, which were, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, thanks to God, his cry must be seen in the context of God's wrath against sin. Jesus suffered so much because that was the penalty that our sin, not his sin, but it was the penalty that our sin deserved. So we look at it in the context of God's wrath against sin. We know that on our behalf, Jesus experienced the alienation from the Father that results from sin. Sin causes separation from God. Now, from our perspective, such anguish is unimaginable. So as we see Mark concluded this depiction, he named 3 women who had followed Jesus who watched the events from a distance. And we're going to see that their faithfulness is in stark contrast to the mockery of most of the crowd. People may mock you for your faith, thanks to God. Some people may condemn you. Some people may persecute you for your faith. But I want you to know that Jesus has already been persecuted for your faith. Jesus has already been mocked for your faith. Jesus has already been ridiculed for your faith. And now you have been made alive in Christ Jesus. So, thanks to God, I want you to think about what moves you most about this death sentence that Jesus received, this crucifixion scene. And think about why it moves you that way. Let's look at our third and final point of outline. Praise the Lord. We see that this innocent man was condemned. We see that this innocent man, Jesus, was crucified and dead. Now, we'll see in the final section that he was buried, resurrected, and ascended. So the story did not end with Jesus' death. Your story has not ended where you are right now, saints. There's still a glorious future that God has designed for you. We see that after his death. Someone said after his death. After his death, Jesus was buried. And we can imagine the grief and despair that his disciples were feeling. But their grief gave way to joy when the same women who had followed him from a distance approached the tomb where he had been buried and found out that Jesus was gone. And an angel recounted the glorious news of his resurrection. Oh, somebody ought to give God praise today. People may have counted you out. People may have said, now it's over. The enemy think he have you right where he wants you, but I want you to know that those chains, those shackles, those stones that your enemy may have placed in your path to hold you have been rolled away. Why? Because Jesus' stone was rolled away. Your stone has been rolled away. And I want you to know, saints, this knowledge that Jesus died a horrible death on the cross and the knowledge that he arose from the dead should instill in us a sense of responsibility. Just like the followers of Christ that we read about in this text, we have a mission now to tell others the good news of Christ's triumphant victory over death. The grave can no longer hold him bound, and no weapon formed against us can hold us bound. So, saints, rejoice today. I say again, rejoice. Rejoice that you serve a risen Savior. Your experience consists of more than knowledge about him. If you have faith in Christ, you know him personally as your Lord and Savior. So accept the responsibility that comes with knowing him and tell others the good news that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah, thanks to God. Today we talked about Jesus defeats death, and that results in us being made alive in Christ Jesus. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen.